Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Everybody, welcome to the press. It is time for our model show for the week, where we're going to look at top 10 for our overall tournament model, and then we're going to look also at our first round leader model and try to parse through some names that we like and kind of confront some reality about the history of this tournament as well. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Good to have you here with us for our show. Let's get right into it. Top 10 for the model for the week. We do this every week for our members at golfnewsnet.com. It's $50 per year to get access to this model and our other tools, and we're going to even continue building out more stuff that's available for free. It's just a way to kind of access data that doesn't necessarily require a whole lot of parsing or manipulating, but something that can help you be a little bit more informed as a better of the sport. Now, that all said, the model is proprietary. It looks at 1 year, 2 year performance, weights them against the quality of competition, then looks at recent performance and a little bit of course history. Course history this week is difficult to kind of home in on because we only have one course out of the three where we get strokes gained data, which means at best you're going to see that course twice, which is PGA West Stadium course. And unfortunately for us, or maybe fortunately, it is the hardest of the three. La Quinta and Nicklaus Tournament are relatively very easy, and all of these courses are pretty easy. They are under 7,200 yards. They are par 72 across the board. These are golf courses that, frankly, a winning player should beat up. You probably have to play somewhere in the area of an average of 8 under par per round to win this, or 6 under par per round to win this tournament. And in the two courses where you can light it up, you got to be at least 8 under par per round. That's probably the best way to think about this tournament. So let's look at the top 10. What works against us this week, or maybe it works for us, is that we have one of the best fields this tournament has seen in probably 20-25 years. And that's great for attracting people to watch it. It also kind of hurts some of the trends of the tournament in thinking that, hey, a lot of the last winners in recent memory, I think 12 of 13, or I mean, some kind of insane number, have been greater than plus 5,500 when they won. And so you're looking for longer shots to win here because this is a track meet. It is hard to win, as John Rahm has called it, a putting contest. But at the same time, you haven't typically had this many good players in the field. So if you haven't had this many good players, no wonder so many long shots won. You had a kind of wide open set of potential outcomes. Here, maybe it's not as likely. So we'll underscore everything saying here that, hey, history says a longer shot should win. But history also tells us this tournament has not had a good field like this in this long of a time. So, top 10 on the list this week. John Rahm is number one, as you might imagine. He's one of the best players on the planet. He has won 3 of his last 5 starts around the world. A couple of times on the DP World Tour. One in obviously a huge comeback at the Century Tournament of Champions. The model doesn't even account for those wins in DP World Tour events because we don't do the strokes gained for those. That's out there, which is not in our model. Just focus on PGA Tour stuff in that. And that would probably rate him even a little bit higher here. And he has won here in the past, so that certainly kind of helps things out. Xander Schauffele is second in the model. Of course, you have to have back considerations for him, considering what happened at the Tournament of Champions, but have not heard anything on the ground that says maybe he's not ready to compete this week. But you do get him at a decent number, probably because of those back issues, and he doesn't have quite as much experience in this tournament. It's 20-1 the last time I saw him. I've not checked this morning. Patrick Cantlay is third. He is a true horse-for-course play here. Probably the same as Rahm, if not a little bit better. He's 10-1. I've seen him 10-1, 11-1. I haven't seen him in single digits yet, but he's third in the model. And he's someone who probably, if he continues to play this tournament, is eventually going to figure it out and figure out how to win. He tends to do well in these go-low tournaments. He also tends to do well in first rounds. We'll come back to that later. Scottie Scheffler is fourth. Will Zalatoris is fifth. Scheffler does have one solid finish in this tournament history, in this event, Will Zalatoris is a guy who has obviously spent several months on the shelf and didn't look very bad at all playing Kapalua. So there's something to be said for that there. And he's fifth in the model. Tom Kim is sixth. And that kind of makes sense given his positioning. I think his price is helped a little bit this week by one, better players in the field, but two, that he missed the cut at Wailea. And I think part of that was probably just the pressure of being the obvious favorite for the first time probably in his PGA Tour career and just didn't work out that way. Sometimes it just doesn't. Sungjae Im's another horse for course play here at 20-1, seventh in the model. His historically done very well in this event finish-wise, and that probably would have popped him a little bit better had we had four rounds of strokes gained data that we can include into the model around this tournament, and that probably would have put him sixth, is my guess. Taylor Montgomery is eighth. Makes sense. He didn't get there on Sunday at the Sony Open in Hawaii, but I mean, the guy is just, he's on one, and he's been on one since he got a PGA Tour card. I don't see any reason for that to stop, and I think there's something he could take away from what happened last week that can apply this week. Yes, this is a par 72 course. That's a par 70 course, so he didn't have as much in the way of par 5 scoring opportunities, but now you've got him this week, and Montgomery can take advantage of those. Another guy who can do that, Cam Young, ninth in the model, 20-1 to win. He is rated a little bit better in this model compared to his DraftKings number, but not really better than where he's clustered in the 20-1 grouping on the odds board. So we have to keep that in mind. We talk about this a couple different times, but when we're looking at players that we like for DraftKings and to outright win, they're a little bit different. Have to keep that in mind, knowing that you value them differently in DraftKings based on birdies, eagles, then finishing position. I mean, has a big part of it, but not a huge part of it compared to all of the 72 holes that you can play. And then you've got the outright board where you're like, all right, well, not everyone's rated the same. You're kind of rated in groups of likelihood to win. So ninth doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing because there's a bunch of 20s. And then 10th is Tony Finau, obviously one of the best golfers on the planet, one of the hottest golfers on the planet in the last 6 months. So plenty of reason to like him. He has a decent record here in the past. Plenty to like about that. I did want to highlight a couple longer shot guys in this model that my model likes. Chris Kirk keeps coming up because he gained strokes a lot. Didn't get there at Sony, but he did have a respectable third place finish even after starting the third round with a double. Ben Taylor keeps coming up, keeps giving himself a chance. I like him a lot. Brian Harman is 30-1. He is another kind of horse for course play. But again, if you're trying to kind of hold that the winners have historically been longer shots, he's not long enough. Jason Day is interesting to me. He's kind of on the come. I think that guy's worth looking at. Cam Davis, not deep enough, but someone you could probably really get behind this week. Ben Griffin, another guy to really like, continues to play very, very well. Tom Hoke, a guy who plays really, really well, strikes the ball well, has had some good finishes in the past here. I think you can look at some bombers to take shots on. Taylor Pendrith comes to mind, even though he is not a very good putter. You're looking for somebody that's a longer hitter that's a good putter. Callum Tarrant is one of those guys that's playing pretty well. It's a longer shot. Dean Burmester seems to do really well, generally speaking, on the PGA Tour. Gains a lot of strokes. Not a long hitter, but or longer hitter, but someone to look out for. I've seen a lot of people like Patrick Rogers a lot this week, and I can get behind that. But I he's never closed one out, so it's kind of hard to get behind him there. And I have seen some people really like Tyson Alexander, and he does rate out pretty well for me relative to his price. Is that something worth betting to you? Maybe $10 at 400-1? Okay, or 350-1, wherever you're looking. All right, I can get behind that. Two guys I really like this week, K.H. Lee and S.H. Kim. I like them both. I think they're worth looking at, and the guys that I think you have to mention are Joel Damon and Ricky Fowler. Somewhere in that pool is probably one of your longer shot plays that you should get behind this week. Let's switch over to the first round leader model. So last week was not a bad week for that because we prefaced everything by saying let's look at a model of our top 20 players based on recent history of strokes gained in the first round. And then let's also look at players based on their history at the Sony Open in Hawaii. And that latter part was really what got us to Chris Kirk with a great day. So worth looking at, worth having in the model. This week, we listed the top 20, noting that, look, we've got a lot of players in this field that aren't going to play La Quinta Country Club on Thursday. And those are people you probably are going to rule out. At a minimum, you're probably going to rule out the players who are on PGA West Stadium, because that's the hardest of the three courses. At a minimum, you got down to La Quinta and Nicklaus as where you're going to get your first-round leader. But you have some really good players ranking high on this model that are playing La Quinta, and that to me seems like a play to make for this week. So, leading off the model in the first-round leader market is Aaron Wise and then Ben Griffin. Neither of those guys, though, are on La Quinta, and that's a concern. But then you get into guys you might typically like. John Rahm tends to get off to a hot start. I bet him in the first-round market at Kapalua. Got there. Will Gordon, another guy to like in that first-round market. Not as highly rated as last week, but maybe evening out things a little bit. So something to look at, but he is on La Quinta. Denny McCarthy. He's playing better golf, and he tends to do well against weaker fields. If this is a putting contest, as John Rahm says, Denny's not the best driver of the golf ball, but it's really hard to get in trouble. So if Denny keeps it in play, he's the best putter on the PGA Tour. Worth a look, and he is on La Quinta. David Lipsky is sixth. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay are seventh and eighth. They are playing together, and they are playing at La Quinta on Thursday. I can get behind either of them. One, because Cantlay tends to get off to a hot start. So does Xander, for that matter. They're about the same, really. But one thing I really like about them playing together is that they like each other and feed off of each other. So if they're going in the right direction, maybe both of them go in the right direction. Tyson Alexander is actually ninth on this list. He is not at La Quinta. But if you kind of feel the theory of the case that a bomber could just obliterate one of these shorter courses if they have a day, I would be willing to consider that kind of wager on Tyson Alexander. And then Tom Kim is 10th on the list. He is at La Quinta. And I could get behind that, but I don't know. I'm probably a little bit shy after last week. But I also have OnGolfNewsNet.com, our full list of a top 20 in the ranking, and then every player that's competing on Thursday at La Quinta. Yeah, my theory of the case is the leader is going to come from La Quinta or Nicklaus Tournament, but it's probably La Quinta because it's the easiest of the three. So let's keep that in mind. That all said, want to look at history and trends and horse for course plays. We've talked about some of them already, but let's reiterate them. John Rahm is a horse for course play. For one, he's one of the few top players that patronizes his tournament year after year. He's won it. He's done well at it. Patrick Cantlay hasn't won this tournament yet, but he consistently plays it well. And the difficult thing for him or any top player is to win in a track meet. Sometimes you just can't do that. Then, I think you have to look at Sungjae Im for that reason. He's played this tournament historically well, hasn't gotten there yet. If you want to throw Siwoo Kim in there, he's done it well. He's won here, too. This is his last win before the Sony, but because... For me, Siwoo is hard to bet much on. It's easy to bet him with a little sprinkle, but it's hard to bet him with a lot of confidence, because he is very erratic. Wins come out of nowhere and then just kind of goes right back off into the wilderness, and you don't see him again for a while. So I think that's one of my reservations. I think one of those names that keeps jumping out at me is Joel Damon. He keeps jumping off the page at me. And I think you have to consider the possibility that he can win this thing at like 101. He's been playing great golf recently. Same thing with Will Gordon. Same thing with Ricky Fowler. I'm trying to put together guys that have been playing well recently and give you reason to want to bet them because of their history in this tournament. It's hard to do, but I think Damon and Gordon make sense. And Fowler is more just a flyer play that just in case he catches lightning in a bottle and the putting comes back and the swing looks good. I mean, he has all the attributes to win this tournament. He really does. Just hasn't done it yet. So why is that the case? Hopefully, if you're betting him at 80 or 90 to 1, he gets there for you. So worth taking a look at those guys. I'm going to set my final card in a show that we're going to record a little bit later this morning and finalize everything for you. But just wanted to get this on the board, get this out there, and get you thinking about everything based on the modeling that we did yesterday. And hopefully, if you're a GNN subscriber, you've already seen all this stuff and have a good idea of where you're going for the week. But we'll come back a little bit later on with a show about the final card and the picks that we've made. And hopefully we can get ourselves a long shot this week, because there aren't many tournaments on the PGA Tour that are green light specials for long shot plays. This is one of them, and hopefully this is one of those weeks where we can cash in on it. But we have so many of them to choose from that it might be a little tricky. All right, I'm Ryan Balaji saying thank you for listening. We will talk to you a little bit later here on The Press.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.